much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Dear God, not again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My balls itch so much. They really, really itch a lot. My balls, they itch so much. They really, really itch so much.
Hey, when you get a second, stop looking at my boobs.
Man, you'd think the quality would dip after 5,500 shows. But duh.
Well, the FCC isn't laughing.
Okay, that is my most shameful, painful, private secret. Okay? And it might sound like a joke, but it is not f***ing funny to me.
And now,
do you still stand by your pledge made in 2008 to provide a pony for every American?
Yes, I do, sir.
Our feature presentation.
Where's my pony?
That is quite a promise. I'm guessing that guy didn't get elected.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Damn.
If he did, it would be ponies for all, and that would be very exciting. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 16th of September. Before we tell you about today's show, I would like to start with a story that might make you feel a little bit better about your life. This comes out of Boulder, Colorado. You see this kind of story all the time, and it's sort of hard to get your head around. Why would someone do this? What's the attraction there? A Colorado man who hid in the tank of a portable toilet.
Oh, the lengths that men go to see...
Women go.
Yes.
Right. At a yoga festival, to spy on women has been sentenced to 3 years in prison and 10 years probation.
There's got to be an easier way.
3 years in prison. You would think, right? He's a 31-year-old named Luke Crisco. He pled guilty in July to attempted unlawful sexual conduct and 2 burglary counts. I don't know what he was burgling.
All right.
Police arrested him in 2011 after a woman at a yoga festival in Boulder noticed something moving in the tank of the portable toilet.
Just stop and think about that moment.
Then, so, yeah, you're...
I mean, that's a horror movie come to life.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's like the poop monster or something is coming to get
you.
You
look down, there's someone moving.
Oh,
you go, what the...
God.
How?
Those things are gross enough.
No kidding. It's gross. You walk in it and you feel like you need to take a shower.
Yes.
A little over this guy was. And then here's my favorite line in the article. Then the woman saw a feces-stained man emerge and run away. So that's that dude's life. So
how do you even get in and out? I mean, do you have to go in and then lower yourself down?
Honestly, I've never done it.
We could probably
get some people to let us know, unfortunately. So email us if you have that information for Lisa, because she wants to know how you can get
so curious
in this portable toilet. But that does seem like maybe that's a little too much to catch a glimpse.
One step too far.
Of what you need.
Yeah. Get a computer.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? We have John Bones Jones.
Yes, we do.
Who was the light heavyweight champ of the UFC coming in the studio today talking about UFC 165. Very excited about that. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have the shortest woman in the world. This is a 2-foot-tall woman. 2 foot.
You will not believe she's real.
It is crazy. And she's, I believe, 18, 19, 20, somewhere around there.
She's 20, yeah.
We have Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park today. We've got a brand new Linkin Park song for you coming up here within a half hour.
Fabulous.
So we have that coming up. We have Justin Bieber at the Mayweather fight. That drove me crazy. And we're going to take a look at the football weekend with Andrew Siciliano. That's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54. Coming up just after the top of the hour, we got a brand new Linkin Park song.
Awesome.
How about that? That's right after the Showbiz Beat with Ralph. What's going on, Ralph?
Showbiz stuff. It's a Monday morning, which means we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Big weekend for the horror sequel Insidious Chapter 2. It doesn't hurt that we're getting into the Halloween horror season, but $41 million
is
better than anyone expected. Did very well in its debut weekend. In fact, it crushed the competition. The next closest film at number 2 was The Family, the new Robert De Niro comedy about the mob family that moves to France, made $14.5 million. So, big discrepancy between 1 and 2. Riddick was 3rd. The Butler and We're the Millers came in at number 5. Then the Mexican film Instructions Not Included, Planes, One Direction's documentary This Is Us, Elysium, and Mortal Instruments, rounding out the top 10 at the box office.
I was very excited to see that Insidious 2.
Chapter 2.
And,
Insidious.
You know, it was pretty...
Insidious.
It was, you know...
Things are going on in our house. Get out.
Same sort of things as last time.
Wow. Kevin's, I don't know, it's a little scary. Kevin's getting a little discerning about his films. He didn't care for Riddick. He thinks this was just okay.
A lot of clichés.
He's just like, oh, movie on screen, flick aloud, like... That was the equation. But now he's like, got opinions, and he's breaking films down. Very interesting. Everyone relax. Relax.
What's everybody upset about?
Over the weekend, people just losing their minds over the fact that Justin Bieber Instagrammed a selfie of him holding what looks like a script for Man of Steel 2, Batman vs. Superman. He released the picture with the caption that simply read, hashtag Robin.
Right.
Allowing people to believe that perhaps he was auditioning for or in consideration for the role of Robin to Ben Affleck's Batman in that
film.
What
a dumb douchebag.
Yeah, people started to lose their minds, going off, saying, no, you're going to ruin, oh, Everyone relax.
Seriously, though, how much would it ruin that? I mean, who knew Ben...
It's not even comprehensible that
right.
could ever happen in a million years.
But then you would look at Ben Affleck as Batman, and you would go, all right, not so bad.
Yeah, of course. here's the facts of the case, ma'am. Earlier in the week, he tweeted, off to do something funny or die, he said with a smiley face, which obviously means he was going off to do a little sketch or something for the Funny or Die website, and everyone with half a brain thinks that this script is part of the gag.
Oh, I see.
So they're going to do some sort of sketch where he's playing Robin to somebody's Batman or something. So.
Yeah.
Everyone just
so the Batman
just breathe, just breathe.
Okay, everybody, so, take it easy. It's not happening.
It's not going to happen.
He's a douche.
Kanye West. Well, couldn't get out of this one. TMZ.com says he has been officially charged with criminal battery and attempted grand theft.
Is that right?
For allegedly attacking that photographer at L.A. International Airport on July the 19th. You've all seen the footage where Kanye loses his temper, and the guy said, "Hey, why can't we talk to you, Kanye? What's this? We can't talk." He went nuts, and this paparazzo, by the way, was taken to the hospital and hired the lawyer, Gloria Allred, to be his lawyer. So that's why they're moving forward with this. Not just because he's charged doesn't mean he'll get convicted in any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of legal wrangling to wade through. However, there is that video of him attacking the guy. So.
There is the video of him saying, I'm going to assault you, and then I'm going to have to write you a big check.
I'll have to pay you $250,000 or whatever, yeah, so... If he gets convicted of both charges, he could get up to 1 year in jail because they're both misdemeanors. But
the guy walked up to him and said,
hey, what the? Hey, don't talk. Don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to yourself. Don't talk. Don't talk. 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 Guy dropped his tire iron twice. There we go.
So the paparazzo runs off.
Yes.
And then runs back and lays down.
Well, adrenaline, man. He was able to get away on adrenaline, but then he realized he was desperately injured. Congratulations to Nina Davaluri, the New York representative in the Miss America contest over the weekend. She has been crowned our official new Miss America.
I don't even know what that is.
Nina Davaluri is the second Miss New York in as many years to grab the title. She is the first Miss America of Indian descent. Last year's Miss America, Mallory Hagan, was from Brooklyn, so this is the second New Yorker in a row. Crystal Lee, Miss California. Our own Miss California was the runner-up. Oh, we were this close.
We were.
I just find this interesting because, as I mentioned, Nina is of Indian descent. And it was just heartwarming to see America embrace her once she was crowned Miss America. Reaction on the internet was just charming. She must be so proud to be Miss America after reading tweets like, if you're Miss America, you should have to be American.
Oh, Not these people.
She is American, by the way. Yeah. She was born here in America. Well, they just picked a Muslim for Miss America. That must have made Obama happy.
Oh, my God.
That has everything.
It really does. Miss America? You mean Miss 7-Eleven? Because, again, she is from Indian descent.
That was not written by anyone.
And, of course, my favorite, Miss America right now or Miss Al-Qaeda?
Yes, well said again.
Well said. What a swell country. Just really top to bottom.
USA!
Yeah.
USA!
Couldn't be prouder.
USA!
Could not be prouder. Maybe the internet shouldn't be available to everyone.
I hope
not everybody needs
off
the internet.
No social media.
Tragic. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Mickey Rourke, he's 57 years old today, as is magician David Copperfield. Jennifer Tilly, lovely actress and avid poker player, is 55 years old today. Richard Marx, hold on to the night, is 50 years old. Molly Shannon turns 49. Mark Anthony's 45 years old. Comedian actress Amy Poehler is 42. Actress Alexis Bledel is 32 years old. And musician Nick Jones of the Joe Bros.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Oh, come on. He's 21
That's
years
science.
Old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Boy 7, K-Rock is KROQ, Steve Aoki, and Linkin Park. Brand new song called A Light That Never Comes. You can get that song on Facebook if you play the game, LP Recharged. And the name of their album is Recharged, and that comes out October, I want to say, is 29th.
Steve Aoki and I, we used to DJ together, of course, back in the day.
Hey, Pat O'Brien.
I taught him how to scratch a record. I was the one who introduced that to him.
I don't think you...
And look at him now.
Taught him anything.
Doing pretty well for himself, by the way.
Where was he when you taught him?
We were at the casino.
I'm sorry?
What?
I didn't hear the casino.
You heard me. And that's where we all got started. Now Steve's moved on, and I'm, of course, a big star in radio.
You do AM sports talk.
I do. The primetime show. Steve Hartman, by the way.
Right.
Great guy.
Uh-huh.
Ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
What?
How? So a long career in sports. Broadcasting journalism.
Sure.
Celebrity news, of course.
Speaking of sports,
that's why I'm here, Kevin.
How about the NFL weekend?
Here to fill you in what went on the NFL this weekend.
All right. Let's start with last night, if you don't mind, because
stay up late, watch that show.
It was supposed to be a good game. That's what everybody said. Great
good game
matchup.
If you like rain.
Seattle against 49ers, and it was 5-0 at halftime. Pat, what do you
think? 49ers haven't scored a point with their offense in the first half of the first two games. Is that a reason of concern? I think so.
I would think so. Yeah. Sure.
Ended up being 29-3 with those 49ers.
That seems weird, right? I mean,
Seahawks have their number, that's for sure. If Colin Kaepernick is Superman, then Seattle is his kryptonite.
Right. Right. Do you miss doing sports there, Pat?
I do, because I got a lot of insight. Kaepernick's a talented kid, but he's obviously struggling against these Seahawks.
Right.
And the offense, the 49ers, they're going to have to start getting things going over there.
That's you all. Think scoring 3 points is not going to be enough?
Not too strong, no.
All right.
But I think they can work it out because, let's face it, Kaepernick is a talented kid.
Right.
And, you know, he and I once were at Charlie Sheen's house. I stepped outside for an e-cigarette with Charlie Sheen.
Wait,
and I
was hold
saying,
on. You
how
and
about that Kaepernick? How about those tattoos? He's got a lot of them, doesn't he?
So you were at Charlie Sheen's house with Kaepernick?
Sure, yeah. We were there for his birthday party.
Whose?
One of them.
Charlie Sheen's? One of them?
How about the Broncos and the Giants?
How about the Broncos?
How about Manning Bowl 3? Well, you got to give it to Peyton. He is the winner all three times he has faced his brother Eli, and those guys really going at it. But Peyton proved to be the better Manning that day.
Bit of a blowout. It was 41-23.
It sure was. And I'll tell you something. That Manning family is pretty spectacular. Archie Manning, good friend of mine, by the way. We once gave Robin Williams a nude massage in a sauna once.
What are you talking
about? We got together and we had a good time. Of course, that's back when I was fighting my demons, by the way.
But okay.
I've conquered those, and I can help you conquer them, too. Maybe I'll send you an open letter.
That's all right. I don't need an open letter.
I think you do, Kevin. I think you need an open letter. It's what you need.
How about
Ask Cartman. He'll tell you.
How about the Arizona Cardinals going all the way to the Super Bowl? How about that?
I don't know about that. They are 1-1.
Right.
Which I think gives them one more win than they had last season, if I'm not correct.
I think that's probably true.
We'll
but
agree to disagree on that one. But,
okay.
Over a Lions team which has been struggling, but the Cardinals hanging in there. NFC, by the way, looks to be wide open this year. Anybody could come out of the NFC. Mm-hmm. AFC, of course, the usual suspects still doing pretty well there with Denver and some of those other teams. But Yeah, the Cardinals look good. The Bucks and the Saints, close game.
Pat, what do you think about the Chargers destroying the Eagles?
Chargers did very well, but maybe they're a better team than people are giving them the credit for. It was a close game, 33-30. A lot of scoring, not a lot of defense in that lot of that game. So
right,
we'll have to look forward to that. But Philip Rivers, he's got six kids at Philip Rivers.
He does. Yeah. Six kids.
Three of them are mine, by the way.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. Why would he have your kids?
Because he asked me to impregnate his wife, give him a little the O'Brien genes.
That didn't happen.
And I was happy to do so. They're a lovely family, and I was glad to help where I could. So Michael Vick had huge numbers in that game, as so did Philip Rivers. They both passed for over 400 yards, a couple touchdowns for Mike Vick, three touchdowns for Philip Rivers.
Right.
Big, big game. You know, who's struggling? Yeah, the NFC East for a long time was considered the best of the NFC. Maybe it's the NFC least now, we should call
them. Oh, nice.
Because those Redskins, they are struggling right now. RG3 not nearly back to his form as he was a year ago. So those guys having a hard time.
Having a tough time, right?
Tough time, I'll tell you. And the Cowboys eked out a win. Oh, no, they lost. They lost to the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. Andy Reid's Kansas City Chiefs just knocked them out. So the NFC East, a division where anybody could rise up, really. Cowboys and Eagles now are tied at 1-1.
Now, you said that about every division there.
0-0 wins for the Redskins. 0 wins for anybody? That's right, the New York Football Giants.
The New York Giants?
That's a surprise right there, those New York Giants falling 0-2 this early in the season. Right. You know how hard it is to get in the playoffs with an 0-2 starting record?
I imagine not a lot of teams do it.
Only one team recently has done it. You know what team that was?
I do not.
The New York Giants. So why are you counting them out, Kevin?
Same
why are you
team.
Doing that?
Nice. Well, I wasn't. You just said
I think
it
you were.
Ago.
You know, I used to play for the New York Giants.
You were never in the NFL, Pat.
I was starting quarterback for the New York Giants.
Why do you make up stories like
just
this?
Just a short period of time. I, of course, was...
What position?
Quarterback, starting quarterback.
Oh.
No, didn't happen.
Even
I called myself Phil Sims. You may remember me when I was Phil Sims.
No, that was the name of another guy that was an actual quarterback.
Nah, we're going to have to agree to disagree on
no,
this
we're
one
not.
Because
this
I was Phil Sims
science.
For a short period of time.
I don't believe
it. And we had a great time there in New York City.
Right.
When I was mayor of New York, I remember saying...
You were never mayor of New York,
I think it's
Pat.
Important for me to clean up Times Square.
Pat,
and I did that. I came true on my promise.
That was not you.
A lot of people were very grateful that I did that.
That wasn't you at all. That was... somebody else entirely.
It was Rudy Giuliani.
Thank you.
Times like this, you miss Bean.
We have the shortest woman in the world to introduce you to in a couple of minutes. She is, 23 inches tall. Yep. 23 inches.
God, I can't even imagine.
Total.
It's like a doll.
Mike Shinoda will be on the program in the 7 o'clock hour. We also have John Bones Jones coming in,
yes.
into the studio to talk UFC. But first, it's time to talk with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How was the weekend?
It was good.
Good. Your top story on TMZ today is Britney Spears. Explain this concert deal that she has signed.
Well, I got to tell you, I think this is going to be a big concert. I think Vegas is her place.
I do, too.
You know, we broke this story a long time ago that she was planning on going to Vegas and that this was shaping up at Planet Hollywood. So now... we've got real details. In fact, we've got an artist rendering of this stage that she's going to use. I mean, much to their chagrin.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be really interesting. I mean, the show's going to be there. She's going to do 70 shows a year. Excuse me, I apologize. She's going to do 48 shows a year. It's going to be at Planet Hollywood. It's going to be more like a club kind of atmosphere than a real concert. The way
that's
this is
weird.
Kind of, yeah, well, it's actually. I think it's a good idea that it's not going to be this kind of disconnected big show. This could actually be really kind of interesting for her. But they're going to make it different than all the other.
But
shows.
But what do you mean, like club? It's going to be like a nightclub where she's just
Look at the artist rendering. I mean, the best way to do it, go to TMZ.com. I'm not doing this to promote the website, but you got to kind of look at it. But it's not the kind of typical audience seating venue that you would see at a Celine Dion concert.
Right.
And it's more intimate. I mean, it's just more intimate. I think, look, this is going to be a big show for her. She's pulling in $310,000 a show.
$310,000. Per show.
Wow.
Per show.
Wow.
She is going to make just shy of $15 million a year. Now, Celine makes a ton more. Celine is getting $476,000 a show.
Right.
She's doing 70 shows a year. So she's making a lot more money, but Britney's doing real well.
Is this one of those things where if she does well, I imagine, you know, Planet Hollywood will want to extend it?
Oh yeah,
longer.
Sure, and you know, I mean, I think if Britney wants to do it, I mean, she's perfect for Vegas. I mean, people who go to Vegas are all going to see her.
That's what I think. I think she's one of those people that, you know, especially younger people who are aware of her. You know, it's not like the old Vegas shows that they have.
People in their 30s who are into her and grew up with her. I mean, she's going to have a big fan base that goes to Vegas, and this just... I don't know. It just makes so much sense. I mean, the only I've been pushing this for years, saying this is what they should do. So now my only other my unrequited idea is now what they got to do is dig up Michael Jackson's coffin, put it in Circus Circus.
I like it.
And then you put all of his memorabilia in a circle like Napoleon's tomb.
That's got everything.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's... And then you charge and you change the memorabilia out every 3 months. And it would just be a constant line of people.
I like it. I like it. Go. Just put his bones there. That'd be cool, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Britney Spears maybe shouldn't be spending too much time in Vegas, though. She's not moving there, is she?
Well, she's going to have a place there, but she still is going to live here.
I would suggest she fly in on the day of.
That's a better idea. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you were to say, Kevin, you're going to be in Vegas. We're going to give you $310,000 every time you do a show. You know, I'm not going to make it. I'm shaving my head by show two.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe Southwest will give her seat 1A.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, she can't move around Vegas, though. There's no way.
She's
she couldn't
famous?
Go anywhere there. Yeah.
You know what? It's just not safe, Lisa Mae.
Yeah.
It is not safe.
Let's talk about Kanye West, another story that you've got on your site, and the paparazzi attack. He has been charged.
I love this, that we kind of got wind of this. On Friday afternoon, so we knew it was going to happen, so we were just ready. And they decided to wait until Yom Kippur.
Really?
Well, I mean, we're just, like, sitting, we're waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, finally, the sun's going down, and then finally Kanye got charged.
That's weird.
No, it was kind of a funny day. Not for him, because he has been charged with battery and attempted grand theft. Which means that if he's convicted, this is in connection with the paparazzi attack where he went after that photographer at LAX.
At LAX, right. And what's the grand theft part of it, though? What was he...
Trying to steal the camera, allegedly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And if he's convicted, he faces a year in jail. So this is not just fun and games for him. And they made a decision. It's interesting because, remember, Lamar Odom, he kind of went after a photographer and did kind of the same thing, and they didn't charge him. And all they did was have they're scheduling an office hearing with Lamar,
right?
Which is kind of a nothing thing. Kanye, they're charging, and maybe they're doing that partly because he has a history.
Well, he has a history. He's also on video doing it and yelling about how he's going to have to write a big check to him because he's assaulting him.
Right.
Well, true, but Lamar was on video too. Remember, we have the video.
Yeah, both. That's true. Well, Kanye West, I'm sure is going to do everything he can to stay out of prison. But
although I will say, Kanye has like 10 cameras on him. It's like the JFK assassination.
Yeah, there's...
And more than that, I mean, because it's LAX. So I know that the police were looking at, like, we need to look at more angles.
But how funny was the paparazzi that got up and ran away and then decided
and then
that he needed...
to the hospital.
Oh, you know what? No, first he ran back to the spot where Kanye assaulted him and laid back down on the asphalt.
It was just ridiculous.
Well, that was so awesome.
It was ridiculous.
Harvey, you're the best. Thanks for spending the time every Monday. TMZ.com, of course, is the website. TMZ airs on Fox Monday to Friday at 6 p.m., and then they replay it 17 different times. And TMZ Live at 4 p.m. on Fox. Harvey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Harvey.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Talk to you soon. Have my mic on. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38. We have Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park talking about the new song coming up just after the top of the hour. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Jyoti Amgi.
Mm-hmm. Sure, why not?
What is your bet that that's a correct pronunciation?
None. Zero.
She is the world's shortest woman, according to Guinness Book of World Records. There was a woman, an American, that had the record named Bridget Jordan. She was 2 feet 3 inches tall.
Damn.
And that was her claim to fame, is that she was the shortest woman in the world. So at least you've got it working for you.
And now she's not.
Now she's not. Now she's the second shortest woman in the
world. So she's just really, really short.
Correct, yes. Now she doesn't even have the claim. This little chick is in the book. And she's about 18, 19, 20 years old. and she is 23 inches. 23
it's
inches.
It's hard to imagine that is a full-grown person.
Yes. And
she looks like a four-year-old.
She does, yeah. And she talks even funnier than that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I mean, I'm sorry, but this is the world's shortest woman.
The shortest woman in the world. She is featured in the Guinness World Records 2014 edition. Jody, thank you so much for being here. How's New York?
Que sea New York.
Oh, New York bought a time. New York bought a telegram.
New York is very nice. I like it very much.
She's a munchkin.
I'm sorry. That voice is funny. And it comes from a tiny little person, but
she weighs 12 pounds.
That's correct.
How?
23 inches.
Think about that.
12 pounds. That really is a 4 month. I don't know how old babies are when they're that
well,
weight.
They get,
but
some babies are born at 12 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah? With like the big buildings?
तो बड़ी बड़ी बिल्डिंग्स अच्छी लगती है इधर की
हाँ यहाँ की बड़ी बड़ी बिल्डिंग्स बहुत अच्छी लगती है मुझे
I would ask her questions all day long. But I do like that the guy immediately went with the insulting, do you like the tall buildings? How about that? Because those buildings are really as tall to me as they are to her.
Yes, of course.
Seriously.
I like the very, very big buildings. There's no doubt about it.
How tall are you?
23 inch.
23 inches.
Now, I imagine being 23 inches comes with a certain amount of challenges.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Like, can you open any cabinets in your kitchen?
Zero, right?
Yeah.
Any kitchen counter? Zero.
Nothing.
23 inches.
I don't know how you survive.
She would have to have ramps and ladders. Who knows? Ropes and pulleys?
Couldn't open up a refrigerator.
I don't know.
On a daily basis, what sort of challenges do you face?
Okay, because I'm too short. I can't reach many times to you know, places which are, you know, on things which I want to take myself. I can't do that.
By the way, even like toilet. I mean, everything.
Yeah. Does she sleep like in the bottom drawer of the cupboard?
She sure could. She's so tiny.
Well, I have the limitations with me that way.
You have plans for Bollywood, no?
All right. So he has heard that she wants to conquer Bollywood. She wants to be an actress, and she wants to make it big in Bollywood movies. And that's not big enough for her. She's thinking bigger.
Okay.
Well, I'm more targeting now towards Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yes.
Big plans. Yes. Big plans. So
big plans. Big,
let's
big.
Let's encourage this.
Here's the word big again, because you're not big.
When Guinness World Records, when you first got into Guinness World Records, what was it like to be able to tell your story to the world?
It had to be a lot better for her, by the way, because she was 23 inches and didn't have any notoriety. And yet she was still so she was like not getting anything for it, but right. She was still 23 inches. Now at least she's getting to
she's
travel
famous.
And yeah, travel and she's in the book and. That's her real voice, by the way.
Really, first time Guinness Book.
I got very, very excited when I was chosen in the Guinness Book. First of all, so it was a very, very good news for me. Thanks to Guinness, I have been traveling the world.
Now, and they put her next to the book, next to the Guinness book, and it's almost as big as she is. And they put her next to like a pint of Pepsi or something like that, and it's almost as big as
it's
she is.
It's almost a life-size picture of her
it
in the book.
It really is.
People see me now with a different look, which they had earlier. They used to, you know, like kind of, very funny, but now they look at me with, you know, kind of respect at the same time.
So what she's saying is that people used to make fun of her for being 23 inches tall. Now they look at her with respect.
Because she's in the book.
I'm calling BS. I'm sorry. The same people that look at her and get a chuckle because she's 23 inches tall. I mean, that's a shock. That's shockingly. Remember when Vern Troyer came in?
Oh, yeah. You really can't.
I could put him
on the chair.
I couldn't see him over the equipment.
Yeah.
Like there was no one there as far as I could tell. And he dwarfs this girl.
Yep.
Funny Brad is a giant, twice as tall as this woman, at least.
So I have achieved that. I'm really very proud of it, and I'm really proud of being in the Guinness Book.
What do you eat in a normal day?
Yes. What do you eat?
She weighs 12.
Lettuce.
जो सब लोग normal खाना खाते हैं, मैं भी वही normal खाना खाती हूँ.
Okay.
Does it make me bad that I want to listen to her talk all day?
She poops like a rabbit.
How do you know that?
You know that. that because she weighs 12 pounds.
That's probably true.
Basically, I eat the normal food, what other people eat in my house, my family, but I eat in small quantities. So that's the only difference.
Can you imagine a tiny little hamburger that she could get her tiny little hands around?
I would seat her at like a doll table.
Yes, not even
a
kid's
table.
With
the little tiny cups.
Yes, and that would almost be too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you dating anyone right now? Is it difficult for you to find someone?
No, it's easy. This is very easy.
Have you had sex yet?
Are you dating anyone right now?
आपको ऐसा कुछ boyfriend आपने बनाया है या कोई दोस्त बनाया है?
Do you have a boyfriend? What's going on?
नहीं बनाया.
I gotta tell you,
that's a creepy question because she really looks like a 4-year-old.
It is a creepy question. A and B, we've had this conversation off the air, and that is if. I mean, if you had the chance and you're a guy, you'd do that.
Oh, no.
Oh,
No. She's too tiny.
But she's 20.
I know,
but you don't have
Kevin,
a choice.
But you couldn't get past the visual that she is a tiny, tiny child.
I would be a monster.
No?
I don't have any boyfriend.
I
have lots of friends, but no boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
No
boyfriends.
So she sleeps around. She's a slut.
And so what do you do for fun on a daily basis?
Well, I try to, you know, joke with people and pull their legs at times and stuff like that.
She pulls their legs at times.
Jody, thank you so much for visiting with us and talking to us.
Thank you for coming and talking to us. Thank you for
shaking hands. There we go. That's nice. Thanks, Jody. Buck, thanks for sitting down with us. And you guys, you can check out her work in the Guinness World Records of 2014 edition. It's available in stores. Please check it out.
Yes, and see all kinds of pictures of her and a life-size photo of her as well.
I love that she achieved it, and you can check out her work as though she did anything.
She's a champion.
But it was
How
just
dare
born
you?
Tiny.
How dare you?
I
She's
mean,
accomplished
no,
more. Are you in the book?
No, I'm not in the
all
book.
All right. Come on. Just say it.
No, you're not just saying. You are that.
Here's what happened.
That's you.
Here's what happened. We had a pair of passes to Joy Stryker at that damn mud run.
How many did we have?
Well, I thought we had a pair.
Uh-huh.
So then I sold for caller 15.
We called 15 right now.
And then I looked over and I was confused because there are 5 pair that I'm supposed to be giving away.
Big caller 20 right now.
So then I said caller 20, when in reality it should have been 16 through 20 or whatever. Chip will give away 5 pair. It'll all work out. Everything's all good.
We're not worried about Chip. We're worried about the poor listeners going, what am I supposed to do? Am I 15? Am I 20?
Just dial the
what
number.
What do I do?
And we'll tell you. Mike Shinoda, just after the top of the hour, talking new Linkin Park music.
Okay.
I'm all right.
Yeah, Hasselhoff, you're fine. Let's talk about the showbiz news on a Monday morning, because it is Monday. We always take a look at the weekend box office to see what movies people went to see. Kevin went to see Insidious Chapter 2.
Yes, I did.
It was good.
It was... You know what it was? It was just you recognize a lot of other movies in it. You just go, okay, well, I saw that in. Oh, well, okay, I saw that in. It's just kind of like they ripped off every other scary movie.
Did it lean heavily on the first Insidious?
I don't even remember the first Insidious.
Oh, well, there you go.
But.
So you could have just watched Insidious again. You would have thought it was the second one.
I could have, and I would have been very excited.
$41.1 million is what Chapter 2 made to kick off the Halloween Scarathon. That will be horror movies coming out every weekend between now and November. The Family, the Robert De Niro mob comedy with Michelle Pfeiffer, came in number 2 with $14.5 million. Riddick was 3rd with $7 million, then The Butler and We're the Millers at number 5. Instructions Not Included was 6. Planes, number 7, One Direction, their documentary This Is Us, made just $2.4 million, made it number 8 this week. And then Elysium and Mortal Instruments, rounding out the top 10. The rumor that Justin Bieber could possibly play Robin to Ben Affleck's Batman in the upcoming sequel to Man of Steel.
Oh, that would be so great.
Is just that.
It would be so great.
Well, Bieber's fans, they like
it. Of course.
They like that idea. He Instagrammed a self-picture of himself with what looks like a script for the sequel, with the caption reading simply, hashtag Robin, ? Well, Bieber's fanatics, 766,000 likes as of yesterday.
Yeah.
Fans of Batman were outraged and started going nuts on Twitter and other sources. What everyone failed to realize is just days earlier in that week, Bieber tweeted that he was off to film something for Funny or Die, the comedy website, and so people are speculating that this is all part of the sketch he's going to do for that site.
Did you see him at the Mayweather fight, Ralph?
I did not watch that fight because, as you know, is my policy, I refuse to give Mayweather another dime of my money, so I wouldn't buy the pay-per-view anymore.
I sure wish I wouldn't have. That was such a waste.
It always is.
Such a waste.
He is an exceptional athlete.
He is.
He is very quick and evasive, but I prefer my fighters to do some actual fighting.
Yeah, he doesn't fight at all. He just moves around.
Never has.
I was so frustrated, but he came out with Lil Wayne on one side of him, who was singing his theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And then Justin Bieber on the other side of him. And Justin Bieber spent the whole time in the ring, like afterwards, trying to get in people's pictures and stuff.
He's such a badass, though, Kevin. He's got a long boxing history himself.
My God.
At least he wasn't putting up the number one finger at any time, was he? Did he ever? He didn't do that at all.
Yeah, he did that.
Oh.
Yeah.
At least he didn't wear sunglasses indoors.
He did. Though. He wore sunglasses the whole time. Sure. Sure. There's that.
Murder.
Holy crap.
You turn that up.
Jeez, murdered my ears. That's what you murdered. In more music news, Britney Spears' new single, Work, Bitch, leaked over the weekend. She tweeted yesterday morning how sad she was that a low-quality version showed up on YouTube that was taken down very quickly. Then an hour later, the official track was posted on Vevo and is now on sale at iTunes because Britney had to compensate for the leaked track, so she's putting her version out there. Britney basically recites the lyrics, doesn't actually sing on the song until the very end of the track. Some of the lyrics are, you want a hot body, you want a Bugatti, you want a Maserati, you better work, bitch. Oh, R. Kelly must be so pissed. She's just pulling a page right from his book.
Wow.
This is...
That's some good rhyming.
This is horrible. Anyway, if you want a little taste, here's some of the new Britney Spears single, Work, Bitch.
Yep. That exists.
Pick up what I'm putting down.
Is that Britney Spears or is it the world's smartest woman? So who is singing that song?
They don't even need her anymore. They have her voice on a computer. They can just make it work.
She may not even exist anymore. Yeah, she may be dead.
She's been gone for quite some time.
They just have downloaded her into some sort of Vox Pro program and they just... Why is that music?
Why is that music?
Why does that fall in the category of music?
I can't really describe... I don't have an answer for that.
How can you love it? It's crap. That's my point, Ralph Garman. You make an excellent point. And sad news, we've lost Robert Taylor. Passed away this
weekend. Not Robert Taylor.
At the age of 77, yeah.
Who is that?
Well, you know, Kevin, in 1980, anytime before 1980, you know what we all took a shower with? You know what we all showered up with?
No.
A bar of soap. That's all you had.
Okay.
From the beginning of soap until 1980, all you had was a bar of soap. That's all you had.
Okay.
Until Robert Taylor came along. Invented soft soap. Soap in a bottle. God bless Robert Taylor.
And what did he make, like $1 billion on it?
Well, one of those he guys? Did sell his company for $25 million in 1980.
Wow.
And in 1980 dollars, that was some serious cash.
You know what we should do? We should make soap soft. That was it.
Hey, you know soap?
It's too hard.
You have to take a cake of it or a bar of it, and you got to rub it all over your body, and you have to make it sort of like soft on your skin. What if we just start with it being soft? And you just hit a little bottle with a squirt top, and then boom, it got soft soap. 25 mil. So he took the 25 mil, and he bought Calvin Klein Cosmetics. And then he released fragrances like Obsession and Eternity, and he made countless, countless millions of dollars.
He had a celebrity spokesperson for the soft soap.
Oh, great.
I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me. And then my grandfather would take this hose,
go
like this with me, squirt all over me. So, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
Oh.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Oh, Mr. That's Rogers.
Super ugly.
Mr. Rogers. Today's celebrity birthdays, Nick Joe of the Joe Bro. Nick Jonas is 21 years old today. Alexis Bledel is 32. Amy Poehler, comedian and actress, 42 years old today. Singer Mark Anthony's 45. Richard Marx turns 50 years old today. We have to crack a little Richard Marx.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we have to crack that vault open.
I don't think we're going to have to.
Don't mean nothing, the word that you say. A little Richard Marx. Get that action going today.
I don't think we really need that.
Jennifer Tilly's 55 years old today. David Copperfield turns 57, as does actor Mickey Rourke. I'm Ralph Garman. Call it 15 now. Call it 20. Showbiz big party bus.
Speaking of that band, Linkin Park, earlier this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, we world premiered a brand new song from the band called A Light That Never Comes that had a very special guest star on it, DJ Steve Aoki. Mike Shinoda on the phone from Linkin Park right now here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
How are you? Good morning.
Very excited.
Well, it's very exciting anytime new music gets out there. I mean, I know you guys work really hard, and then, you know, kind of the test is, what are my fans going to think when you get it out there? What kind of early reaction are you getting to people who have heard the song so far?
The coolest part about the song, it was really organic the way it kind of came together. Steve and I talked first. I think we first talked on Twitter, and then we were emailing, and then we started throwing some music back and forth, and it eventually resulted in, you know, besides the song being finished, we got on stage with him at a show that we did. We played this Summer Sonic Festival in Japan, which is like one of their biggest shows, and it's a really diverse bill. And we went on stage, Chester and I went on stage with him and played the song.
I saw a very, very poor quality cell phone video of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing that's been out there. So we tested, we kind of played it for them there. And, you know, the crowd loved it. We got a lot of, great feedback online. And so we wrapped it up and, you know, as you guys know, the song kind of, it got finished and, it's out now.
It's out now. And we're going to play it again for folks who weren't listening first thing this morning. We'll have it on the air here again in just a couple minutes as we talk to Mike. You guys have had electronic elements in your music since the band began. But why this time around did you want to go kind of outside the group to have such a, you know, high-profile collaborator?
Well, it was just the I think the conversation really started everything. It was really just, you know, talking and, you know, kind of throwing ideas around with Steve. I in particular am in a bit of a collaborative kind of mode right now. I tend to write the majority, if not all of the demos for our records so when something like that gets in my mind, it just kind of starts affecting things. I would say, that this song is not, I don't think this is indicative of necessarily where our next album will go.
Right.
But because it is kind of a one-off thing. But the cool thing is that it is part of a project that does sound like this. We had been, you know, our last album, Living Things, which came out a little bit over a year ago, we put up the acapellas and instrumentals on iTunes and other places. And we had actually gotten gotten contacted by a bunch of different DJs about doing remixes and stuff. And so we did that. And one of the things we did was, with our fans, anybody who bought Living Things on our website directly from us at LincolnPark.com, they got a remix a month for like 6 months, which was really, really pretty cool. But in order to get those remixes for the 6 months, we got dozens of remixes. We got tons and tons of remixes. So we ended up with a whole bunch of different ones that people have still not heard, and we're actually going to be putting them together on a remix album, and the Aoki track is going to be on that album as well.
Is that Recharged?
Yeah, it's called Recharged, and there are remixes by Datsik and Killsonic. There's a remix of the Aoki song by Rick Rubin himself.
Oh wow!
And this, you know, it's rare you get the tracks that like Rick doesn't usually like make a track. He usually produces stuff with other people, but he doesn't often make a track. And so this was a really special thing. I'm excited about it. I mean, obviously anybody, if you're following us on LincolnPark.com or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you can get more info about it.
And that album you mentioned called Recharge comes out on October the 29th, and you got a bunch of stuff that's very special. I know you every release you try to up the ante for what you can give to fans. This one is available as a limited edition version with an interactive 3D sculpture based on the Living Things album artwork. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it sounds great. It sounds like the hologram Tupac, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I read that several times, and I still don't know what it means.
It's okay, so here's the deal. So the album artwork was done in a way, it was done in three dimensions in the computer so that the two-dimensional art could, I should say, the art from the album could be represented two-dimensionally, like on a CD booklet or on the, album cover you can see on iTunes and all that.
Right.
But the files were actually 3D files. So you could spin them around or you could print them any size you wanted if you had that capability. And we could use them in the videos, etc. So since we had all these files, there were a few different, I guess you could call them characters or objects that really stuck out to us as, like, these are really cool. And one of them was this kind of, like, lion head image. And that has always been a favorite, at least for some of us in the band. And so we actually we sent that out for a couple of different approaches. And the one that was the most interesting to us from, like, an art object perspective was this little 3D, it's almost like the shape of, like, a snow globe. And it's got the lion head in the middle, but it's got water in there, but it's surrounded by this really interesting material called ferrofluid. And most people, I had never really heard about this until it got brought to my attention like months ago.
Right.
This ferrofluid reacts to magnet. So there's a stylus that comes with it that's a little, it's almost like a little pen, and when you touch the outside of the globe with the pen, the ferrofluid kind of explodes up into these spikes. It's the most interesting thing. If you look up ferrofluid online, you'll see how it works.
Are you high right now?
It sounds nuts, but it's such a cool, fun, it totally connects to the album artwork for me. It's such a fun thing for us to offer the fans because it's really unique. It's really different from anything we've offered in terms of band merchandise or special items. And this is going to be limited to I think 500 pieces or something. It's a really limited item. You can get if you want the album on its own, like that'll be available normal way, iTunes and whatever. But for those people who are interested in this limited thing, it comes with, this massive package of, artwork. It's like almost 50 pages of art and, the lion that I was just talking about.
Well, Mike has gone bye-bye and I'm sad about that. He's been a good friend to the show for a long time. We're going to have to take a quick break. Mike Shinoda is on the phone from Linkin Park again. We world premiered earlier today the brand new song of their effort with Steve Aoki called A Light That Never Comes. We're going to play that thing one more time when we return and talk more with our guest Mike Shinoda right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
That is A Light That Never Comes. That is Linkin Park and Steve Aoki. Mike Shinoda is on the phone with us. Great to hear that song on the radio, Mike.
Thank you for playing it.
Absolutely.
It's so interesting. I know we talked to you a few minutes ago about your collaboration with Mr. Aoki. It's so interesting to see the rock and EDM people getting together. I'm sure you've heard the Avicii track with your boy Mike Einziger on it, for instance.
Yeah.
It's a whole new cross-pollinization that's happening right now between those genres. And there's a lot of exciting stuff out there in that world.
Yeah, I mean, even the Avicii track, I actually met with him and we did some... we played around with some music. I don't actually think that any of those demos are going to end up in the world. They were, kind of half cooked. But when we did meet, we were throwing around ideas, and I told him, oh, have you ever heard of this guy? There's this soul singer. I believe he's from L.A. named Allo Black. He's really interesting. I like him, and he'd sound great on this song that you made.
Wow!
And so
check you out.
Sent me. He said, oh yeah, send me send me a link or something. So I actually introduced him to Allo, and that ended up being the song. I mean, it was really, I had nothing to do with, other than introducing him to the guy, I had nothing to do with writing the song and making it what it is. But the idea that, all of these little things, like these little conversations and these little organic, events end up pushing the culture forward. It's a really interesting thing that goes on. Like, I think that EDM is at a place where it can either repeat itself and stay kind of like, it'll, stagnate and eventually kind of like get boring.
Right.
Or people can do what Steve is doing, what Avicii is doing, what a lot of these other guys are doing, and start kind of experimenting and taking chances.
Well, the next time you run into Allo Black, you hold your hand out and you say to him, I need a dollar, because that guy owes you, you know?
So let's talk about the new Facebook video game, LP Recharge. Tell us about that.
Oh, okay, so this is a really interesting thing for us. Our band has a really strong connection with our fans on Facebook. That's one of the places that our fans have chosen to interact with us the most.
Unfamiliar with Facebook. That's new, too, right?
Well, for us, we've got, you know, our biggest following is on Facebook. In fact, I think we're the biggest band on Facebook. So that's where the fans go to talk to Linkin Park or get Linkin Park news.
And to your credit, you guys spend a lot of time responding to fans that way.
Yeah, we do stay really active.
Yeah.
So, you know, knowing that our fans are there and also knowing that we love to play games, we've tried other projects where we made games, we've made apps before, we've tried to do things like that. But most recently we got into this certain, you know, idea of a game for Facebook and partnered with a great company from Germany and made a game which is basically a 3D, it's like an action strategy game. So it looks like an action game, but it plays like a strategy game. And the concept is that you're in the future and the world's natural resources have run out. There's only a little bit left. People who own those are basically have the rest of the world at their mercy.
Right.
And you have to go and get them, you know, get that stuff back and save the world.
So, how does it look 3D if it's online?
3D meaning, like, you know, when you're playing a game in Facebook, like if you looked at Facebook games a few years ago, they wouldn't really compare to console games. Like,
right.
It's not actually like coming out of the computer at you.
Okay.
But yeah, you move around in the 3D space. It's like a overhead point of view. So we developed this game. It just came out last week. We've been, you know, running basically a little bit of a contest for the fans to like unlock the Aoki song in the game. Which is a really, you know, that was it was the first time we've ever done anything like that, like debut a song in a Facebook game.
It's right.
Crazy.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, and so you can just go to, on Facebook, you can just go to facebook.com/LPRecharge, or you can just go to LPRecharge.com. You just log in with your Facebook info and you play for free. And it's a lot of fun. You know, it's definitely kind of like a time suck. it's a little addicting.
You played it last week in that party in Santa Monica with a whole bunch of K-Rock listeners too, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Which one of your band wastes the most time on video games?
It's hard to say because everybody plays in different ways. Like there are guys who play on Xbox, guys that play on their phones and whatever. It's like a blessing and a curse that there are so many great games on mobile.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think we rack up a lot of hours on the plane and in the car, like when we're on the way to the venue and stuff.
Sure.
It's a lot.
Mike Shinoda on the phone here. Our remaining moments here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brand new Linkin Park again with Steve Aoki that we just played again called A Light That Never Comes. And you can get that as part of what sounds like a super cool project called Recharged coming out on October the 29th. Get all the details at LinkinPark.com. And I want to ask you one more thing, Mike. Since the last time we had you on, Chester has been cheating on you with STP.
Right.
We've heard his side of the story. What was it like for you and the other guys in the band when that whole thing popped up and you sat down to have that talk?
Yeah, it's funny, like, people have made the, like, open relationship joke.
Right, sure.
Like, Linkin Park, they're like swingers.
Right. You're allowed to sleep with other people.
Yeah. Chester came to us, and I'll give you the most, I think, important piece of information that really, like, describes what it means for Chester to be an STP. Okay. When we first met Chester, like, we were auditioning singers. It was like 1999, maybe, I think, somewhere around there. And we got a demo. We basically gave our demo of instrumentals and a demo with the vocals on it to a few people and had them sing it, come in an audition or whatever. And he was all the way in Arizona, so we sent him the thing and sent it back. At the time, we loved his voice. We brought him in. You know, he became part of the band. And at the time, our biggest concern about Chester as this new guy was he sounded a lot like Scott Weiland. And I'm not even kidding you. If there's any, we said, like, he sounds like Perry Farrell and Scott Weiland, but more Scott Weiland.
Right.
And it was just like, I can't wait. Like, hopefully, our concern was that, and we were like, hopefully we can draw out his his voice. Like, we need to hear whoever Chester is. We don't know what that is yet.
Right.
We're going to pull that out of him instead of him selling like something else. He did find his own thing. He did, you know, we were able to all get together and, like, and make that work. But STP has always been one of his favorite bands. I mean, that's, you know, forever. And he knows all their songs, you know. And so when they called him and said, hey, we have an opportunity, like, we'd love to give you an opportunity to come out with us. Like, if that's okay with any of you guys, I don't know how anybody would react.
Right.
And he knew that we would be, we understand that that's like, kind of like his like childhood fantasy, like coming true.
Well,
and
not
we,
to mention you guys have,
not,
you guys
know
have,
he's going to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys have always been cool about that. You've done your side projects. He's done other side projects. It's kind of a thing that you guys have always been all right with.
Yeah, and it's awesome that they're having kind of a rebirth. You know, those guys, I think, for the drama that's gone on internally in their band, I don't think that spills over to this point. It hasn't spilled over into anything with Chester or
right.
us. I mean, you know, I think, I hope Scott knows that there's no bad blood between us and him or Chester and him. This is strictly like, you know, those guys asked him to do something. He's really excited about it and whatever. And clearly those guys have no intention of doing it with Scott. So that's not even an option.
Right. Right,
yeah. So
right.
It's like, you know, this is just where it's ended up. And I think the people that are, you know, besides the band, their band benefiting, the people who are really benefiting are the fans who get to go see these guys play live.
Well, thank you for handling that issue, and it's great that everybody's happy except Scott. That's the
well.
I think except, I mean, if Scott. You know, I think that Scott is doing his own thing, playing his own shows. You know, if he's playing the shows and the fans are going out to see it and he's showing up and the music's great, then everybody's happy. You know what I mean?
Yep,
right.
As far as we're concerned, though, Chester is actually like we already have him on the books to be in the studio with us. Like as soon as he gets back, so he's a busy guy. But we are recording new music with Chester as well.
Recharge is the game. You can play for free on the Linkin Park Facebook page. Recharged is the name of the remix album that's coming out on October the 29th. Go to linkinpark.com for all the details about all the cool stuff, including that 3D lion that I'm still wrapping my head around. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Mike Shinoda giving us some time here on the Kevin Devine Show. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thanks, guys. Always good to talk.
Time for.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
As usual, I have some, a few options for you.
Okay.
A Roseland man faces multiple charges after police say he presented false identification. The police pulled him over and he gave him another guy's ID.
Mm-hmm.
Look, not anything like him really at all.
Okay.
So he hands the ID to the cop and then the cop says, this isn't you. Get out of the car. And so he gets out of the car and the cop starts,
Searching him
yeah. and checking him out to make sure he's all right. And he pulls out of his pocket. While being searched, he pulls a crack pipe out and lights it. In police custody.
Someone's high.
He pulls a crack pipe out.
Nice.
So you got that going for you.
Okay.
A local man who says he was the victim of a shooting by a Bridgeport gang. Apparently, when you go to the hospital with a gunshot,
yeah,
they have to report it to the police. So
right.
the hospital called and they said, hey, we've got a guy who has a gunshot wound in his leg. And he's saying that he got beaten up and shot by a gang. And we need to report it to you. So they showed up and they said, hey, why does the bullet come from your gun? They had found the gun in his waistband.
Oh.
He put his gun in his waistband, loaded. Not him, but the gun was loaded. He could have been loaded as well. I don't know. He got on a bike and started riding the bike and shot himself in the leg.
It happens all the time.
Yep, and it's embarrassing, and I don't know why that happens so many times.
Yeah.
People, they always think that if they can just put the gun in their waistband like they see on TV, that's a good idea. Christy Black is the name of this woman. She was arrested for public intoxication and theft. Apparently, this guy thought that his girlfriend was stealing from him, so he set a trap.
Mm-hmm.
He left out $4,000 in one place and $5,000 in another place in $100 bills.
Well, he's got some cash.
Yes. So around 1 a.m., he woke up and he realized that she was stealing from him, and
mm-hmm.
he called the police. And when they found her in the hospital because she had to go. She was trying to get the $5,000 in cash out of her safekeeping place.
Oh, did she roll it all up and
put it in her butt? Yeah, $5,000 in her butt.
Okay, well, that's one. And two, I'd be investigating him for being a drug dealer. Because what's he doing $4,000 and $5,000 just laying around
really,
the house?
Really? The girl puts it in her butt and you're worried about the guy and where he got the money from?
It's just where I go. I don't
Come
know.
On now.
You're not supposed to be doing that.
That's right.
You're not supposed to be putting things in your butt.
That's right. I think that's the message here and everybody should learn from that.
Okay.
And finally, Anthony Watts, penis-biting Australian rugby player. Suspended for 8 games over incident.
What?
Former NRL player, now Finks associate, Anthony Watts. The hulking number 6 tries to barge his way over the try line, but is held up by an opposition player. It is here he is alleged to have bitten an opponent in the groin region.
So the guy's holding him up, and his head is sort of naturally there anyway. You know,
right.
They're getting a scrum, and they're all tied up in a knot.
Yeah.
So he just goes, and bites it.
Oh, man.
The Bulamble player grabs his crotch in pain before Watts manhandles him and teammates rush in.
Watts on the field stays on the field, but I think this is going a bit beyond that.
I'd say this is going a bit beyond any sports activity should be happening. The guy gets bitten in the penis.
In these circumstances, there's contact, sometimes intended, but often unintended. In this particular case, he denies biting the genitals of this other player.
The alleged bite happened right on half-time. It's said to have been hard enough to pierce the player's skin and was visible to the referee.
Was visible to the referee.
Hey,
is the key part
just,
there.
Just, like he was screaming or something and it just went in. That could
Does
happen.
That happen often?
It does to me.
So what happened was the guy gets bit. The ref says, I need to see proof. The guy drops trowel.
Oh, right there?
Yep.
Sweet.
And shows the referee that he has bite marks on his penis. Here's the important part. The guy was only kicked out of 8 games. He only has an 8-game suspension. What do you have to do in rugby to get kicked out for a season?
You know, stick someone up in the butt like that other guy.
His penis. That can't be part of the rules.
Oh, well done.
Only an 8-game suspension, and that is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. Andrew Siciliano from NFL's Red Zone Channel coming in the next hour to recap the weekend's football. And we've got John Bones Jones coming
Bones
in.
Bones Jones, John Bones Jones.
A light heavyweight champ of the UFC will be here in the 9 o'clock hour on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, it is time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You know what Jane's Addiction is?
Band?
Rocking your face off.
Okay.
That's what Jane's Addiction is. Addicted to rocking your face off. How would you like to see Jane's Addiction with special guest Portugal, the man?
That's all one. Portugal, the man.
Portugal, the man. How about a little drama again? That's all one. Hey, Portugal, the man. Hey, Portugal, the man. That takes a little the oomph out of it if
all
you
right.
say it that way.
All right.
Portugal, the man.
I like it.
It's all happening October the 24th at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m. But why? Why put yourself through the tension, the angst of trying to get tickets when they go on sale this Friday at 11 a.m. And worrying, oh, will I get in? Will I won't get in? Won't I? Will I get in?
Hmm?
You don't know. I'll make it easy for you. Call me right now. 1-800-520-1067. First 3 callers who get through with that number will get themselves a pair of tickets to go see Jane's Addiction at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino.
Yay!
They can still bring it, I'll tell you.
They are good. They sure are. They're great live. And so is Portugal, the man. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what people went to see. Insidious Chapter 2. That's what everybody went to see, almost.
That was it?
$41.1 million. Very strong opening weekend for that sequel to that horror film. The Family, the new Robert De Niro comedy with the lovely and talented Michelle Pfeiffer and Diana Agron of Glee fame. $14.5 million in its debut weekend. Riddick was third. The Butler, We're the Millers. Those were the top five. Then Instructions Not Included, Planes, One Direction, This Is Us, Elysium, and Mortal Instruments running out the top 10 at the box office this weekend.
The Millers is really hanging in there for a couple of months, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Still in the top five. I guess it doesn't really pay to marry Charlie Sheen. That's not something you'd want to do, right?
No.
No.
On purpose?
No.
But it pays to be divorced from him.
All right.
He just splurged on a new Beverly Hills mansion for his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller. It's right near his own house. Apparently, she made quite a stink because he bought one for Denise Richards, his other ex-wife. Largely because she is now raising his kids.
Right.
That he had with Brooke Mueller. So he gave her a bigger house to sort of be near him and also to have more room to raise this brood of children.
Right.
Well, Brooke Mueller's now out of her 21st stint in rehab. And she says, hey, where's my house? Where's my mansion, Charlie Sheen? So he bought her one. And now she is apparently angling to get custody back of her two sons, Max and Bob, that she had with Charlie, which, as I mentioned, are now being raised and living with Denise Richards. So really, his life continues just to be a morass of drama and BS. What a nightmare.
Can you imagine living like that?
Oh, anyone connected with him, just he ended up with stink on you. Now we know why Robin Williams is returning to TV for the first time since Mork and Mindy more than 30 years ago. He's broke.
What?
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Robin Williams'
really? Career like that and being pretty much tapped out?
Hasn't he been having that career for like 30 years?
Yes.
He's out.
Here's what he told Parade Magazine. The idea of having a steady job is appealing. I have two other choices. Go on the road doing stand-up or do small independent movies working almost for scale. The movies are good, but sometimes they don't even have distribution. There are bills to pay.
Wow.
My life is downsized in a good way. I'm selling the ranch up in Napa. I just can't afford it anymore. He has had two pretty costly divorces. That doesn't help.
No.
So now at 62, he's returning to television in the new CBS comedy, The Crazy Ones, where he plays father to Sarah Michelle Gellar as they work together in an ad agency.
That's shocking to me that he's already out.
Look, I guess it depends on your lifestyle. If you live large and you don't have a steady stream of income, I mean, those movies come together, what, every year and a half, maybe every 2 years? If you're a busy Hollywood actor, you make a movie?
Yeah.
And if those roles start to disappear, and he hasn't really done a big film in a long time.
That's true.
Money stops coming in. What are you going to do? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, 21 years old today. Alexis Bledel is 32. Amy Poehler of SNL. And then, of course, Parks and Recreation, 42 years old today. Singer Mark Anthony's 45. Comedian Molly Shannon, another SNL alum. She's 49 years old. Jennifer Tilly turns 55. David Copperfield. I'm hot! He's 57 years old today. Actor Mickey Rourke, also 57. And Richard Marx, baby! Because it don't mean nothing. The words that they say. Bow, bow, bow. No, it don't mean nothing. These games that people play.
How do you know this
no,
song?
No, it don't mean nothing. No victim, no crime. No, it don't mean nothing till you sign it on the dotted line.
Wow. Go, Rich, go! Rock out! Woo!
That's Richard Marx.
Oh, it's a great tune, man.
Oh, no.
Hollywood can be so lonely. Make you the winner of a losing
fight.
What's
that? Oh, Ralph's phone is ringing? Oh, I'm sorry, Ralph.
Yeah,
your phone's ringing.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
You don't know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. That is A Light That Never Comes, brand new music from Linkin Park and Steve Aoki.
It's great.
And we played it for you a little bit earlier and talked to Mike Shinoda. If you missed that, I'm sure you can catch up on KROQ.com a little bit later. We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano about the NFL coming up, and we have John Bones Jones, the light heavyweight champ of the UFC, coming into the studio here a little bit later on this morning. First, though, Justin Bieber over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the Floyd Mayweather fight.
I heard.
This is the last time I'm going to spend money on Mayweather. That's the last time.
You are a slow learner.
And by the way, I'm a very slow learner. And by the way, $74.
Whoa.
For that
are you
fight.
Serious?
Yeah, when the UFC's like 54. And I thought the UFC was a lot, but they actually fight in the UFC.
$74.
Yes, to watch Mayweather just move around and move around and not get hit and barely hit the other guy. And it was just a waste. But I'll tell you, when he came walking in, and he had Lil Wayne on one side of him, and he had Justin Bieber on the other side of him. And the announcer said this.
The biggest star in boxing, flanked by two major stars in music, Lil Wayne and Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber comes walking in with Floyd Mayweather.
That is just wrong on every level.
And
We talk to him now. Hi, Justin.
That's right, bro. Swag, 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 swag.
What? Why? Why?
TMT. TMT, bro.
The money team. I know. That's
TMT,
Floyd.
Bro.
Right. That's Floyd Mayweather.
Like dynamite. TMT.
Right. But it's all about money.
That's TNT.
Right. This is TMT.
I miss Bean.
Yeah. So, Justin, why do you show up at a fight like that? Why do you have to be in the spotlight like that?
Because I'm TMT. I'm Team Mayweather.
But don't you get enough attention from everywhere?
Bro, I'm just there for my boy.
No, you're not. You're walking down with your sunglasses on. You didn't take your sunglasses off the whole night.
Because my future's so bright. I gotta wear shades.
Oh, God.
Eh?
I hate
put that
you
in the
so
file.
Much.
I hate you so much for so many reasons. You look like a douchebag when you walk down the aisle with Floyd Mayweather, and then you're standing around, and you're in the ring afterwards, and trying to get in pictures, and come on.
Because money and I have a lot in common. I'm a boxer. He's a boxer.
You're not a boxer, Justin.
I am, bro. I am.
When did you pick up boxing?
I'm training right now. I'm training.
For what? To fight?
Yeah.
Oh, please.
I'm going pro, yo.
You're going to be
pro,
a professional
yo.
Fighter.
I'm going to get fro-yo and be pro-yo.
You're like 120 pounds soaking
right.
wet.
I'm going to be the douche weight champion of the world.
There is no douche weight.
There is a new category, douche weight.
That doesn't sound like fighting. What are you doing?
I'm hitting the bag, yo. I'm giving it a...
I don't hear any of the bag being hit.
Double pump with a double pump latte and then a espresso right.
Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about boxing,
bang.
Do you?
I hit it with a Rigoletto and then upstairs with the tempo.
Justin, just admit you don't know boxing.
You don't know, bro.
Just
I'm
say
deadly. These two hands are deadly.
Come on. There's one thing those two hands aren't. It's deadly.
These two hands are deadly if they're holding knives.
Okay, fine.
And
but
guns.
You don't, not just knives.
And
it has to be.
And hand grenades and of explosives.
Right.
Eh?
But you really don't know boxing.
I do.
And you shouldn't have been there. And come on with that.
I float like a butterfly and sting like a butterfly.
Butterflies don't sting.
Oh, you.
Bees sting.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
When I'm
stop
champ,
it.
Yo.
Stop it. You're not going to be the champ of any fighting ever.
Yeah, and Money's going to be my manager.
Yeah, he's not going to have anything to do with
you. We're going to be like Rocky and Mickey, yo.
That's not the case at all, Justin. You're not training.
We're going to be like Mickey and Minnie, yo.
Maybe more like that.
I'm fighting right now. I'm fighting an animal right now. I'm getting in the ring right now. You're interrupting my training. I have to get right in the ring right now.
What are you talking about?
What animal are you fighting?
Why are you fighting an animal? Oh, a llama. Oh. That's your training partner?
Yeah, they're mean, man. They spit.
They do spit, and you spit. So
you
got that.
So
you got that in common, right?
One on one, yo.
Right.
Spitting at him?
What's happening? You're just spitting.
So is he.
That's not fighting, though. That's spitting.
More fighting than Mayweather did, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Yo.
That was pathetic. John Bones Jones coming in the 9 o'clock hour. Now, that's a fighter. That guy's a fighter.
He is a fighter.
Just yelling with Andrew Siciliano here, host of NFL Red Zone. And what's the name of your daily show on the NFL
That would
Network?
Be Around the League Live on the NFL Network, or NFL, there's no the, and the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. Yeah.
We were just talking about the Mayweather fight.
Sure.
You said it was beautiful.
It was beautiful because, I'm not a Floyd fan, I think he's annoying as all you-know-what, but he's not going to lose, no one's going to beat him. You can't hit him, you get in a phone booth with him and can't hit him.
Right. But that's it. But he's not fighting.
Yes, he is.
He's just
how
dodging.
Is that not fighting?
He's just dodging.
But he counters and he scores enough points. And
here's
okay,
the thing:
whose face was bloodied and whose who had a swollen
but
eye?
Barely. Granted, after 12 rounds, okay. He barely.
He's a redhead. You can't tell when it's swollen.
Yeah. Of course you can.
Okay.
Of course you can. He had a
his
little.
His name is Cinnamon.
A little puffiness under one eye. That's what he had. After 12 rounds.
Listen, I'm not the biggest Floyd,
Floyd
fan.
Floyd Mayweather does
nothing
but dance.
I've had my run-ins with Floyd.
Have you had?
I had an interview with him when I was down the street a couple of years ago. We were sitting this far across in the
right.
studio. He was promoting whatever fight it was, and he was going on and on and on, and he just said, yeah, because I'm the greatest of all time. I said, the greatest? He said, the greatest. I said, if Muhammad Ali were in the room right now, would you say that?
Oh,
if Muhammad Ali were sitting in that chair,
right.
and you were in this chair as you are now, would you say that? Hell yeah. Said, you would? Yes. I said, okay. And yeah, then we got into the Pacquiao stuff, why he won't fight Pacquiao. This was like 3 years ago. He walked out of the studio and was dropping bombs and screaming and yelling and cursing. And
oh, he was angry because you called him out on being the greatest.
Well, he said he was the greatest of all time.
Yeah, it's
which, by the way, I'm not a boxing historian, but his record's pretty damn impressive.
His record is impressive. I agree. Yeah. But he's also he really does nothing but move. Jab and move,
that
jab and move.
That is not true.
That's
he
all
is
he does.
Not a knockout guy.
I'm not
going to
spend another penny on that guy.
That's
I will
fine.
Not spend another penny on him.
I'm sure you had plenty of people over and you spread out the cost of the 75
Maybe
bucks.
So. Maybe okay. I even ended up a little.
There you go. There you go.
But what I'm saying is he doesn't fight. He doesn't
yes,
fight.
Yes, he does.
We have John Jones in the studio in the 9 o'clock hour. Those guys fight. There's more fighting in one of the prelims of the UFC than there was in the entire bill of that boxing match.
Well, wait a minute. The undercard, the Garcia, what's his name, undercard, the one right before Floyd came out, that thing,
that was
they were both dripping in blood.
That was good.
So all you want is blood,
No,
basically.
That's not true. I want fighting. And what Floyd Mayweather does is not fight.
Canelo stood directly in front of him.
Yes.
He could not hit him.
That's impressive.
Okay.
That's not fighting.
But Floyd counters enough to mess up the other guy's face and score enough points, other than that the judge CJ Ross.
Who saw
who
it even.
You do not deserve her. A job. And I don't like to be that guy that says, oh, that ref or that ump should be fired. She is the one that called Pacquiao Bradley a draw. Wasn't a draw. She does not deserve a job if you think that fight was even.
There were three judges, and she's the only one that was anywhere close to even. The other two were overwhelmingly.
Overwhelmingly for Floyd. Anyway,
right, look, we're just going to have to agree to disagree.
But Bieber in the ring.
Bieber in the ring with the sunglasses. Come on.
Well, we all know what he is, and you guys, I think, called
it
well.
He's a douchebag.
Okay, your words.
Uh-huh.
When Floyd's brilliant with that, here's why. Because as silly as he looks, and he did it once last year, too,
I remember.
Think, for the Cotto fight. As silly as he looks, Floyd, it's all about the money.
Right.
And he is now opening up revenue and marketing to 14-year-old girls. Not that they like boxing, not that they're going to convince dad to throw down $74.99 for pay-per-view, but it's about Twitter, it's about marketing, it's money flowing back to Floyd now from 14-year-old girls.
I don't
watch.
Blame him for doing it. I don't Mm-mm. blame Floyd Mayweather for doing it, but Justin Bieber's such a douchebag. He's showing up there and he's acting all tough and he's got his sunglasses. And did you see after the fight when
No, I did
like,
not.
All
I
these,
turned it off.
All these different people are trying to get their picture taken with Floyd Mayweather and he kept stepping out in front and trying to
serious?
Get around and putting his arm around him and like trying to get in all the photos.
Sad.
Come on now. Come on. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to the NFL. How'd the Browns do?
The Browns are not good at football. Actually, you know what? They have a decent defense. But Brandon Whedon broke his thumb. Oh, no. I don't know. They're a mess. Next. They're a
let's
mess.
Talk about
last. Oh, but you know what? There's something from that game. I'm sorry.
Yes,
that is not getting enough attention that I think will as the days progress here throughout the week. So Ray Rice hurt his hip late in the game. That's the big Ray Rice headline.
Right.
We think he's okay. But in the first quarter, very early, there was a delay, like 2-3 minutes, and pushing and shoving, and the coaches were spoken to, and it was between Phil Taylor, big 98 for the Browns, 300-pound tackle, and little Ray Rice. And no flags were thrown, no penalties were assessed, but afterwards Phil Taylor was asked, did Ray Rice spit on you?
Whoa.
And he said, go back and watch the tape. You draw your own conclusion. So we're going to do that today on the show. And there might be video
of Ray Rice.
Might. I haven't looked at it yet.
That's a stud.
That's a developing story there.
That's a stud or an
just
idiot.
Put it that way.
I can't tell which. Let's talk about last night's game that was supposed to be so good between Seattle and the 49ers.
It was if you're a Seattle fan.
If you're a Seattle fan, it was fantastic. But if you're just a football fan, wasn't that great.
Well, we had an hour delay.
First of all,
delay.
We had an hour delay.
NBC is now 2 out of 3 with its delays.
Why did they have an hour delay?
Because there was a horrible lightning storm.
Oh.
You know, they get lightning up there. Is that why Bean's not here? Because of the
He's
lightning?
On vacation.
Okay, the lightning. We don't get lightning down here. I mean, it leads the news when we get lightning down here. I think it's hysterical.
So I tuned in for what I thought was going to be the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
and it was still in the second quarter,
mm-hmm.
and it went to halftime 5-0.
There was a safety.
Really?
That was the 6th safety in the NFL's 32nd game. 6 safeties. No, 31st game.
Oh, you're saying total.
Total.
Games this year.
Game 31 of the year,
okay,
and that was the 6th safety, which is going to be some record, I'm sure, when we look it up. Look, the Seahawks, they have an amazing building where their fans are louder than anyone else in football.
Is that the best crowd for football?
It is, and the way they constructed the stadium to their credit up there, it makes it where you're on top of the field. That stuff resonates, and it is loud. And it's not like some other indoor buildings, which are about to be demolished, which shall go unnamed in Minneapolis, in which for years the home team has been accused, although it's illegal, they don't do it anymore, of pumping crowd noise specifically from speakers over the visiting bench.
Right. Really?
Yes. That was a long time ago. This is loud. It's right on top of the field. When Marshawn Lynch broke that touchdown against the Saints, when the Saints were the defending champions a couple of years ago in the playoffs, it registered on the Richter scale. That's not urban legend. It registered on the Richter scale. It made so much noise.
And by the way, it's not just for the football team. They support their MLS team that way as well. It's crazy.
Is it hard for players, though, when it's that loud? Because I've heard that controversy before.
It's not even a controversy. It's a home field advantage. You can't tell them to shut up. It's what you want from your fans. Michelle DeFoy, the sideline reporter on NBC, made a great report last night. She put her mic down, and she walked over and tried to yell over to the microphone. You couldn't hear.
Just because it's so loud, yeah.
Because it's so
loud. And
once
the fans get a taste of we can make this game go our way a bit if we're loud enough.
And the Seahawks defense is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think 76-16 the last two times they've played up there. 79, something like that.
That's crazy.
They've beaten them. And the Niners are arguably, well, anyone's are. I'm arguably an astronaut, most useless word in English.
I would argue that.
Right. I mean, it's a bad argument, but I can make the argument that I'm an astronaut.
Okay.
The Niners are arguably the most talented team in football.
Right. That's what
maybe not a wide receiver with the injuries right now, but they have that much talent.
Everybody's picking them to go to the Super Bowl, blah, 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 and they just got destroyed.
Seahawks could very well go themselves.
Yep. All right, Andrew Siciliano is here. Again, he hosts the NFL Red Zone. He also hosts Around the League Live on NFL Network, and we will be right back on the Kevin. Andrew Siciliano in the studio from DirecTV's Red Zone and also Around the League Live on the NFL Network. Sorry, NFL Network. There's no the.
You know what? Some people still use the.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Let's talk about lightning delays, because that did happen.
Oh, exciting. There were two of them yesterday. One in Tampa. And one last night in Seattle.
We don't have a lot of lightning in Southern California. There's not a lot
it's
of
illegal
that kind
here.
Of stuff.
Humidity and lightning are illegal.
Mm-hmm. Is it more this year than it has been in past years?
It is, and I don't know.
Is it because God hates football?
I don't think that's it.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I had heard that God hated soccer, but I'm kidding. He does not. I'm happy for the U.S. team. Honestly, it's something they used to see all the time. When I say all the time, I don't know all the time, but a lot in the preseason, August, especially back east, you would see it all the time. The games are meaningless. If it was raining and the lightning was coming down, they'd just say, you know what, let's call it a day.
Are they afraid that the stadium height and the lights is going to...
You don't want 70,000 people outside exposed if there's lightning.
No, I don't think
down
you do
the street.
Either.
Yeah, obviously you don't.
What do they do during that hour delay?
They tell people to go inside. I don't know if they could fit everyone inside. I don't think they could forcibly remove people from the stands, but they want to be safe. Now, I thought it was funny, I don't know if funny is the right word, when they had the lightning delay for the first game on the Thursday with the Broncos and the Ravens last week,
right.
And we have the NBC guy standing on the field holding umbrellas. We have a lightning delay.
That could have been the best story ever had he been hit with lightning.
We're down here and that's holding umbrellas. Play. Listen, they want to be safe. You know, the big thing is safety. Obviously, with the players on the field, they want to be safe in the stands. They're going to be safe.
Who was it last night that got a concussion? Speaking of safe, it was one of the
The Charger guy, Seahawks. Malcolm Floyd. That was there a couple, but the one that was really, really scary. He was down for 10 minutes. They removed his face mask. They carted him off. You have both teams kneeling alongside Malcolm Floyd of the Chargers. That game was in Philadelphia. He is okay. And by the way, when they carted him off, you always look for the thumbs up. You always look for the wave.
Some kind of sign.
You didn't see that.
The cameras zoom in sometimes to look for a smile.
Exactly.
Anything they can.
His eyes were closed.
Wow.
His lips were moving. So he was talking, but you didn't see movement at all as his hands were crossed across his chest. He flew home with the team. So
really?
That's amazing. I don't expect him to play anytime soon, but yeah, that's the good one.
And that's and that's been a problem in the NFL for quite some time. That's why they outlaw helmet to helmet and all that kind of stuff.
They outlaw helmet to helmet, but this hit was not that. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when you watch it full speed, you don't say, "Oh, wow, that guy's not getting up." It's just one of those ones where it happens. I tell people all the time, if you ever have the chance, whether it's at SC, whether it's at UCLA, whether it's at an NFL game in San Diego or whatever, if for some reason you are fortunate enough to enjoy the game from field level, when you're standing on the field, it would blow your mind the force of each. I'm talking average tackles. Guy runs left for 4 yards. He's tackled by the linebacker. You blow the whistle. You run back to the huddle.
So this is not an unusually tough hit, just a regular hit.
A regular hit. It's the force of a car crash. It's the force. That's what it feels like. You feel it in your bones. If there's a sideline hit, I mean, guy running down the sideline, safety comes over, pops him, knocks him out of bounds 5 yards, and you're standing right there.
He bounces right back up most of the time.
Exactly. And you physically feel it in your bones. It is it's the kind of hit where the average person would be sore a week later. And that's what an average tackle is like in the NFL.
And so these running backs will get that maybe 20, 25 times in one game.
Or if you're Chip Kelly and you're giving it to LeSean McCoy 31 or 32 times in a game, that's how many times you'll feel it.
That's crazy. So it's probably a surprise that we haven't had more injuries that way.
These
considering all the hits.
Look, this is when I laugh. I laugh when fans, and especially on Twitter or on talk radio, they
people
call
on
up.
Twitter are very accurate most of the time.
Oh, they're made like by the way, brief aside, you want to see the idiots that live among us? Go search Miss America from last night.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And I don't know. I used to think Twitter was the worst thing on earth.
Right.
Because it gives people access to say hateful things
right.
to others that they don't know.
Stupid people that normally wouldn't have had an outlet
right.
now do.
But that's why I think it's the greatest thing on earth, because the idiots around us are truly exposed.
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know if your neighbor breathes through his mouth, right? Because you can follow your neighbor on Twitter and see what they're writing about Miss America.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
How did I get on this?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Twitter.
So Twitter, when people don't like the fact that they're flagging a lot of helmet-to-helmet hits, or you can't hit the quarterback, and they think the game's getting soft, and they say, why don't they just put skirts on them? This is flag football. This is awful. You know what? Go stand on the field and feel the force of that collision. It's not flag football.
I don't think I've ever been in that position, and it's unfortunate we don't have professional football.
I mean, you have two very good college football.
Yeah.
You have one very good college football team
in
UCLA,
and
you have
team.
SC that beat BC this week.
Let's talk about the Manning brothers.
Game wasn't
against
that good.
Each other. It wasn't that good a game,
it
right?
Wasn't that good.
It was till halftime.
And then Peyton has a better team right now. Eli does not. Eli threw what, three or four? I think four picks at the end.
Are they the same? At quarterback?
Meaning what?
Is Peyton that much better?
Well, he's older.
Yeah.
He has a ring. He has all the records. Eli has two rings,
however. But I mean, if Eli was
playing
with the Denver Broncos this year.
I think most people would agree that when history, if they both walked away right now, you would say Peyton is one of the greatest to ever, ever, ever step on the field.
Right.
And Eli is an exceptional player who led his team to two championships and is great.
So just
but isn't
just below right
isn't Peyton.
Well, that's got to be rough.
Isn't
to Peyton. Have made it to the NFL and be a quarterback and be successful and win two Super Bowls and still you're not the best known brother.
Eli has a lot of time left though.
Yeah, that's
Eli
true. He's a lot younger.
It is very possible that Eli wins another championship. Look, Peyton got to two.
Let me
but
ask
he only
you
won
this.
One.
Oh, I see. Let me ask you this, though. If Peyton had not come back with the Denver Broncos and dominated like mm-hmm. he has been doing after the injury, would he have still been looked at in history that way?
Yes, absolutely.
You don't think it helped that he came back in Denver?
I think it increases his legend even more. But he's also a guy, and remember how last year ended. They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they were 13-3. They won. I think the streak is now 12 consecutive regular season games they've won by at least 8 or something like that. But they got to the playoffs and they were one and done. They lost. And that is Peyton's track record. You get to the playoffs and you lose far sooner than anyone ever expected. He still made it to two Super Bowls, which is better than most.
But only won one.
But people
and
think
Eli's
they're going to get
two.
There every year. Eli is 2-for-2. Peyton's 1-for-2.
How many times has Peyton won the MVP?
4.
And Eli?
None.
0.
If memory serves, none. Peyton has 4. One of them was shared.
Oh, that's
with
BS.
Steve McNair. With the late Steve McNair. But look, Peyton got to 60,000 yards yesterday. He was only the third quarterback to do that in the history of the game. Wow. They already have a spot in Canton for when Peyton decides to hang up 5 years after.
They may have that for Eli, but we just don't know
may
yet.
Very well get there. He may very well. If Eli walked away right now, don't know that he does, but the two rings are impressive.
Certainly is impressive.
The fact that he plays in New York and he has the name as well helps.
All right. Andrew Siciliano has been our guest. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Your Around the League Live is on at 3.
Yes, sir.
On NFL Network and DirecTV Red Zone, of course, is where we watch him all day on Sunday. And you can tweet at him, and he loves that, especially if you have very strong opinions against what he's saying. Thanks for coming in, Andrew.
See you again.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9 o'clock. We have tickets for you to join us for the Red Bull Flute Dog, which, by the way, head judge.
What happened?
I'm the head judge.
You're the judge of something?
I'm not only...
You're judging anyone else doing anything?
I'm not a judge, Ralph. I'm the head judge.
Are you kidding?
Not that kind, no.
That's why they call you the head judge.
It's this Saturday at Rainbow Harbor
You're
in Long Beach.
The Flute Dog Fluffer.
If you would like to go... call now 1-800-520-1067. The first person that can make it down there on Saturday can join us. It's a good time. And I'm the head judge. So that's all working
out
well.
So there you go.
That's all good. Time for the show. Stop shaking your head.
I'm just saying.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
You're a judge. You'll be judging other human beings on something.
And that's the way it should be. It's complete nonsense, though. You see,
all you're
going
to say, you're stupid and absurd. Everyone's going to be stupid and absurd. What's the point of having you judge anything?
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
Those you don't know, this event is where people try to make ragtag flying machines, and then they launch off of a ramp over the Long Beach Harbor there.
How often do they fly? Almost never.
And then plummet to their death. So it's ridiculous, drunken people doing really dumb things, and I think that's why Kevin is the perfect judge for that.
It's nonsense, of which I am the head judge.
You are the head judge of nonsense.
That's correct.
Here's what isn't nonsense. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Insidious Chapter 2. $41 million.
That's baloney.
$41 million. It doesn't make sense.
$41
million. Its debut, number one at the box office by far. And behind it, but by about $30 million, The Family, new Robert De Niro comedy, came in at number two. Then Riddick, The Butler, and We're the Millers. Number six, with instructions not included, then Planes. The documentary about One Direction, This Is Us, was eighth with $2.4 million. Then Elysium and Mortal Instruments. Rounding out your top ten. This is breaking news and good news for those who love zombies.
Oh.
AMC has announced that they are in the initial stages of developing a companion series to The Walking Dead. What does that mean, you may ask?
What does that mean?
I'm glad you asked, Kevin. This is the premise, is that it's a big world.
Right.
There, where all the zombies are. So we're following, you know, one particular group of people in their particular adventures, but what's going on someplace else?
That one's in and around Georgia, so
that's
this might
Georgia.
Be...
Where's this one in New York? Where's another one in Texas? Who knows? But Robert Kirkman, our good buddy who created The Walking Dead, of course, the initial graphic novel, and Galen Hurd and David Albert, the producers, they're all on board as executive producers. They will develop...
Sweet.
...another... Walking Dead series. Well, we'll see another group of people and the trials and tribulations they have to go through while dealing with zombies. So,
what's with the zombies?
More than one zombie show.
That's
on
awesome.
AMC. That's good stuff, right?
I can't wait for the Walking Dead to come back.
This is, of course, on the news of the on the heels rather of the news that Saul Goodman, the character from Breaking Bad, is getting his own spin-off series as well. So AMC is taking care of their properties very well and giving you more of what you love. So that's good stuff. Maybe you can audition, Kevin.
For a zombie?
Yeah, just walk around. Congratulations to singer John Legend and supermodel Chrissy Teigen. Teigen?
I think it's Teigen.
I think it's Teigen, too. But I'm not positive.
They got married this weekend at a star-studded celebration in Lake Como, Italy. That's where all the celebs hang. Lake Como. Us Weekly reports that she was wearing her Vera Wang for the affair. Well, John's going to be sore. Kanye West was there, Stevie Wonder, all kinds of celebs, so congratulations to those two. They make a lovely couple. And also congratulations to Nina Davaluri.
Who's that?
She is our new Miss America, Kevin. Oh. Bow down. Bow down to the new Miss America. She rules our country now. You better get to know her.
I don't think they rule the country.
She is. She's Miss America.
I know, but I don't think they rule.
She is. She wears a crown.
Right.
Sounds like a ruler to me.
Thank you, Lisa. She's the first Miss America of Indian descent. Miss California, by the way, our very own Crystal Lee. She was the runner-up. Oh, we're so close.
We almost ruled.
We almost ruled the country. By the way, Miss Davaluri is of Indian descent. And that made a lot of people watching the show very, very happy. First of all, consider the types of people who are still watching the Miss America show.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that cares about that.
No, this is a different part of the world that watches that. They apparently not pleased that she was of Indian descent.
Oh, is this the "We're Americans, damn it"?
Here are some of the Twitter reaction to the first Miss America of Indian descent being elected. If you're Miss America, you should have to be American. By the way, Nina is completely American.
She is American, yeah.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Well, they just picked a Muslim for Miss America. That must have made Obama happy. Maybe he had a vote.
That one's got everything.
Said one tweet. Miss America? You mean Miss 7-Eleven?
Oh, come on.
Because many 7-Elevens have Indian owner-operators.
Miss America? The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Miss America right now? Or Miss Al-Qaeda? Asked
really?
One person on Twitter. Why?
Why?
Why ugly Americans? Why? Just to set the record straight, she is 100% American, just of Indian descent. She is not a Muslim, nor does she work at a 7-Eleven. Her father is a doctor, and Nina plans to go on to med school and become one herself.
Why are you bad, America?
So for you people in your white wife beater T-shirts stained with mustard, drinking your PBR, who tweeted that from the confines of your trailer park.
Yeah.
She already kicks your ass in the achievement department. So, magic. Today's celebrity birthdays. Musician Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is 21 years old today. Alexis Bledel is 32. Amy Poehler turns 42 years old today. Mark Anthony's 45. SNL alum Molly Shannon is 49. Jennifer Tilly, the actress, is 55 years old. David Copperfield. I'm hot! Is 57. I got to play a little hymn in the tornado of fire.
That was good. He did. When he said he's hot, best.
He was on fire, I think, at the time he said he was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actor Mickey Rourke, 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Studio, John, how are you?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you.
Oh.
Let's talk about the fight that you have coming up this weekend. I'd like to know the three questions that people ask you the most about this so we can get those out of the way.
Let's see here. The three questions people ask me the most.
Two or three, whatever comes to your mind.
He's making you interview yourself.
I know. Jeez.
So lazy.
That's so funny.
I'll be back in a minute.
let's see. What is Alexander's biggest, what's his biggest weapon that he presents to you?
And the answer to that is?
He has a great right hand.
Okay.
Let's see here. How do you feel about fighting someone your own size and height?
And the answer is?
I don't care. let's see.
That's good enough.
And how are you so sexy?
Oh, really? That's the question that people ask a lot?
Oh, I hear it a lot.
And the answer to that is?
I get it from my mama.
You have a fight coming up this Saturday.
Yes.
What is your week like this week?
You know what? It's going to be a lot of media, you know, letting people know the good word of mixed martial arts.
What about training?
Training.
When do you peak at training, and when do you slow down and the whole...
I feel pretty peaked out right now, yeah. You know. Last night was my first night back at sea level, and I had a really hard time opening my lungs. That shows me that I'm in really good shape. So I feel really great. I went 10 hard rounds last night, and feels phenomenal.
And this week, do you just eat well? And I mean, I would think mentally it would be difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult mentally. Because,
like, let's get to this. I'm ready.
Yeah, you know, you're eating a lot less too, taking a lot less calories. So sometimes, you know, you're a little off your game. But right now I'm starting something that's called the Tiger Blood Diet. I kind of invented it. And what it is, it's me juicing a lot of vegetables.
Right.
And eating a lot of sashimi. So I pretty much cut out all carbs. And the only carbs I do get is through vegetable juice and just a lot of, you know, raw meat. So really lean diet.
And you just came up with this on your own?
Cut up. Yeah, me and my coaches, just trial and error. You know, I don't think it's really smart to eat raw fish on fight week. But I haven't got sick, knock on wood. And yeah, it's been working really good for me.
How many coaches do you have?
I have five coaches.
Five coaches?
Yes,
I do. And they are what?
I have a boxing coach. I have a kickboxing coach. I actually have two kickboxing coaches. I have a wrestling coach, and then I have my head strategist, Greg Jackson.
I heard that you spend a lot of time with other fighters in the gym as well, trying to help and teach and that kind of stuff. That happens a lot?
Definitely. You know, I'm fortunate to be a part of Greg Jackson's Mixed Martial Arts Center, where we're surrounded by, you know, some of the best fighters in the world. A lot of mixed martial arts schools have about one UFC fighter, maybe two UFC fighters in it. Our school is about 30% UFC fighters. There's a ton of us. So we feed off of each other. You know, we believe that iron sharpens iron. And, you know, I just try to play my part.
Try to play your part.
Yeah.
How many different sparring partners do you have?
I have about... this camp, I had about four, you know, solid training partners.
And you pick them based on if they fight like your opponent or their size like your opponent or whatever? They have their opponent's strengths?
Yeah, you know, our team is just always loaded with tough dudes. You know, this camp, I was fortunate to have a former UFC champion, Andrei Arlovsky. He's from Russia. I had Carlos Condit, who's a former UFC champion as well. You know, so just to train with two other champions all the time. And then some of the other guys aren't in the UFC, but they're just phenomenal athletes, and they always have things to teach.
Now, you have said that you're a huge admirer of Anderson Silva.
Yes, I am.
I wanted to ask you about that, because after the last fight, he sort of, he didn't seem like he cared. Mm. And then he said something that I thought was weird, which was that he's tired of being the champion, or tired of the pressure that comes with being the champion. You understand what that means? Because you've been a champion for a while.
Yeah, I don't think he was tired of the pressure. I think he's really used to the pressure. I just think it's a hectic schedule. You know, the champion's really expected to do the most. You know,
as far as promotion and everything else.
Obligations, and just, I mean, every fight you fight as a champion, you're fighting against the number one contender, the most dangerous, the most hungry, the most promising guy out there. So Anderson, outside of his first UFC fight, his UFC debut, he's been a champion his whole career.
Right.
So that's just so much work.
Is that mentally draining? It
is.
More than we would think?
It can be. It can be a little draining for sure. So Anderson, you know, if he never fights again, he had a phenomenal career.
Oh, no question.
He has a phenomenal career going. He's an inspiration to millions around the world. And
were you shocked when he said he didn't want a rematch after that fight? Like, did you understand where he was coming from?
I think he was just relieved to have the pressure off of him. I'm sure once he got back to his hotel room, he reconsidered that right away.
All of a sudden, I need that belt.
Where's my belt?
That's not going to work. John Jones is in the studio with us talking about UFC 165, which is this Saturday, September 21st. It's in Toronto, Canada. Starts at 7 p.m. like all the other pay-per-views. And we'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean. We normally do the showbiz here, but Ralph has said that we can talk to John Bowens-Jones some more about his fight this weekend. John, we were just talking about your toe. How's that coming?
The toe.
That's a nasty ass toe.
You know that toe has his own Twitter account?
Oh, it doesn't. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I was not aware of that.
I'm not even sure what it is anymore. But, dude, I am so fortunate that toe healed completely.
It did.
Yeah, it was an ugly dislocation. Dislocated to the point where the skin ripped.
Oh.
I tore all the ligaments on one side of the toe.
How far into the round was that?
That was about, the fight was ended in the first round. It was about 3 minutes.
About three minutes into the first round.
So
you have 2 minutes more.
2 minutes to finish that fight.
Well, now, were you thinking this is hurt worse than people know?
You know what? Believe it or not, I didn't feel the pain at all. I was so engaged and so in the zone. So basically, I just felt like a major snap, and I was like, what was that? Ouch. But I see my opponent in front of me, you know, whimpering like a girl.
Right.
Sorry about the whole like a girl thing.
Hey, she's a mauve belt in some type of training.
Karate, so.
Don't hurt me.
Yeah.
Don't hurt me.
You need to really
worst
talk.
Ronda Rousey when I need her. So I had to finish the job. You know, I found out after the fight that if I wouldn't have finished the fight in the first round, it would have been over and I would have lost my championship.
Because of the toe.
Yes, because of the toe. But it healed completely. You know, I was on a whole bunch of antibiotics. They stitched me up, kept me in the boot for about 4 months.
Wow.
And,
That's got to be frustrating for a person like you that's so used to being in shape.
Yeah. Well, actually.
I mean, what do you do?
I get pretty sloppy, actually, in my off season.
Do you sloppy, please? What's your sloppy? What do you weigh now?
Dude, actually, if you look at my Instagram, there was a before and after picture just posted of what I looked like at the beginning of my camp and what I look like now. And it was a pretty dramatic difference.
How many pounds?
Well, I didn't lose a ton of weight. I just tightened up a lot, just training four times a day.
I don't see you super flabby.
Dude, look on Instagram.com/JohnnyBones. You'll see the difference. It was pretty bad.
Is it more difficult when you let yourself go like that to get back into training? Or?
Now that I've gotten a little older, you know, I started the game when I was 19.
A little older.
You're
26.
26,
right?
Yeah. Well, I started when I was 19. I used to get in shape really, really fast. And this time, it took some serious dedication. I had to train four times a day. Literally, everything that I've put in my mouth in the last 9 weeks have been for a reason. And it's just... It's getting a lot harder.
How much harder do you think your career, well, I guess harder slash easier. It depends on the benefits. But how much more work is it to become champion early in your career and then hang on to it? Then for most guys who are fighting their way up in the ranks and whatever, but they're not really championship bouts.
I would say getting the belt is a little easier. You know, the guy I got the belt from, I think he was more at the tail end of his career. So getting the belt was easier for me.
That was easier.
Yeah, hanging on to the belt has been a major challenge for me because everyone is gunning for you. I mean, guys at their UFC debut, they're like, hey, right. I'm ready for the champion.
Right.
You know, I think I got what it takes. So every time a guy wins the fight, he's judging himself off of my performances and where he ranks towards me and all this stuff. All the coaches are gunning for me. Everyone's studying my style.
Everybody's watching videotape and everything. Yeah, everything so you've done.
It's important for me to be really innovative and always come back.
How do you do that?
Fighter. Just my coaching staff and me, you know, we watch our fights and we try to train ourselves to be able to adapt to a different person's body language, their bodies, you know, what they're good at, you know.
You're such a strange...
Right-handed.
I don't mean strange in a negative way, but
hey,
you're such a strange fighter.
Don't be rude.
No, I'm saying, are we going to go? No. No, I mean, you're impossible to predict what you're going to do. And I think that's to your credit, but that's a strange.
Yeah. You know,
it's a strange thing. How do you keep it going? How do you keep people guessing at what you're going
to
do?
Just try to always implement different tactics. You know, I believe if you study it long enough and you really take different moves seriously, you can adapt and become that new tactic. So I always come with a different way of being every fight, and it's been helping me out.
Now,
a lot.
Do you have a game plan in your mind going in, and then
absolutely
okay, and then if you go out and it starts going a different way, do you just throw that out and go, I'm going to have to adapt, or do you keep trying to make it work?
Yeah, definitely. We have our strategy set. We have our general fight doctrine, what we believe is going to happen. And then we come up with these specific tactics that we need to carry out our strategy.
You've never had to go over and sit in the corner and say, okay, we need to change that. Remember the strategy? Let's do something else.
I think with the Lyoto Machida fight, I got really, really confused, and I was a little frantic. I was like, coach, you know, what I got to do? What I got to do? And, you know, they was like, you know, you got to stay calm first and foremost. And
I think I could be a corner man, by the way, because they say breathe. That's what they say.
You could do that.
Just your face would just
breathe.
It just calm me down. Actually, I don't know.
Now you're mocking me.
It may make me panic.
This guy does not know what he's talking about.
That's funny.
No, but so you go in that fight, in the Lyoto Machida fight, you had to change.
I had to change my strategy completely. There was, you know, they had to tell me to, you know, angle off more and just do things better. And sure enough, exactly what my coach told me is what I implemented. Ended up knocking the guy down and ultimately getting a choke and finishing the fight.
And this fight, where do you see it taking place?
This fight, I see
he's a good puncher, right? He's a good
at the ACC Arena.
No, I'm not saying Toronto. I know that.
Canada. I see this fight being primarily a kickboxing match. This guy loves to stand up and bang. He knocks out a lot of people with his right punch, and I believe being a champion, you got to go at people at what they're best at. You know, you got to be able to dominate any style. So I'm going to try to defeat him on my feet. That's
I think
where
you're lying
good at.
Right now.
Maybe I am. Maybe
I do. Little, I think you're lying.
Maybe a little trickery going on.
Because you don't want to answer the question.
No, I'm telling
you
the truth.
Because you're such a good wrestler, I can't imagine you wouldn't...
Try to take him down?
Well, if that's really his strength is his right hand.
Yeah.
I think I would stay away from it, but I'm not you.
Yeah, well, I've been wrestling since I was 14, so wrestling, it comes almost naturally now, and I have a gift of knowing exactly when to shoot in for the takedown. You know, it's like one of my main defensive tools. When a guy over commits to a certain shot, then naturally my defense is ducking down into his legs and taking him down right away. So I don't ever really plan to take people down. It just happens naturally. But what I've spent most of my time on, honestly, is jiu-jitsu, this camp, and kickboxing, really being able to take away this guy's main strength.
How much of you retaining the title is not making a mistake? Because, I mean, basically, you know now if you go into that ring and you take on Gustafsson and you implement your plan, fine. Right. But people sometimes let down their hand or miss something and they get caught. Does that worry you at all, or do you?
No. You know, I try not to focus on not making mistakes. I just focus
on... You focus on doing what you can do.
Yeah, I focus on just being me, realizing that I've earned this position, and just trusting myself. I trust my abilities. I trust my coaching staff. And I trust that, you know, I'll go out there and be the performer that I am.
Does it feel different now? I remember we talked to you near the beginning of your career when you were younger, and everybody was kept bringing that up, and they kept underestimating you, and they kept saying, oh, Jones is too young. He's not going to be... And then... Three or four fights later, no one was saying that anymore. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like you're mid range in your career and you're respected a little bit more for that?
Yeah, I definitely feel respected a lot more. I think people are really realizing that I'm here to stay and that my work ethic has gotten me here and that I take it very seriously. I think originally people just thought I was athletic,
right?
And I don't think they gave me much credit for the mental approach that I have. But yeah, now they're taking me really seriously and. I'm taking it more seriously.
You are.
And, you know, the people originally that looked past me, they were my main motivators. And
speaking of motivators, I know we're out of time. We have to go. But the fight again is UFC 165. It's this Saturday, September 21st at 7 p.m. on pay-per-view from Toronto. And you're fighting Gustafsson. And I want to talk about just the mental part of it just for a second.
Okay.
Chael Sonnen.
Oh, boy.
How?
Thought I'd never hear that name again.
How do you not get mad? Because he's a dick.
He is.
A public dick.
A big, veiny one.
I'm not positive we can say that, but okay. All right. How do you not get angry at guys like that when you're fighting? I mean,
it's funny. You know, I just had
that's
to...
That's his goal, right? His goal is to make you angry.
To get into my head.
Yeah.
What I did was I allowed him into my head.
And oh, you did?
I did. And the more he was in my head, the more I thought about him. The more I thought about how I would feel if I was to lose to him.
Oh, you're talking about the lead up to the fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You know, it was like he insults me in every way, shape, or form. And it just caused my focus to increase. And it resulted...
So he made it harder on himself.
He really did. The guys who try to insult my character and things like that, it's just like, all right, it's a sport, it's a game. But now that you made it personal, I'm going to give you a personal butt whooping. You know what I mean? So it didn't work out too good for him.
It didn't work out for him. So that's probably not the way to go.
Not the way to go.
All right. Well,
keep it classy.
John, we always appreciate you coming in and spending time with us, always.
Thank you so much.
And expect you to win on Saturday night as well, and we'll be watching.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.